tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's February 24th, 2026, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start today's episode by talking about Tesla and the floodgates of lawsuits that are opening left and right for, a lot of people's favorite EV brand. Tesla has been ordered to pay a historic $243 million judgment over an autopilot crash. Fred covered this on Friday. This is my first episode since then, but I am putting this absolutely front and center. A federal judge has rejected Tesla's bid to overturn a $243 million jury verdict over a fatal 2019 autopilot crash in Florida, dealing a significant blow to the automaker's legal strategy as it faces a growing wave of lawsuits tied to its driver assistance technology. The case stems from a 2019 collision in Key Largo, Florida. George McGee was driving his Model S with autopilot engaged when he dropped his phone and bent over to retrieve it. The vehicle blew through a stop sign and a flashing red light at approximately 62 miles an hour, slamming into a parked Chevrolet Tahoe. The crash killed 22-year-old Nibel Benavides Leon and severely injured her boyfriend, Dylan Angulo, who was 26 at the time. In August of 2025, a Miami federal jury found Tesla liable for the crash, assigning 33% of the blame to the automaker. The jury awarded $43 million in compensatory damages and $200 million in punitive damages, the first major plaintiff victory against Tesla in an autopilot-related wrongful death case. Tesla had rejected an earlier $60 million settlement offer before the trial, and that decision cost the company dearly. Tesla's lawyers filed a 71-page motion asking the court to throw out the verdict back in August of 2025 or grant a new trial. The company argued that the verdict flies in the face of basic Florida tort law, the due process clause, and common sense. Tesla also claimed that references to CEO Elon Musk's statements about autopilot during the trial misled the jury. They sure did. They also misled everyone who's ever bought a Tesla, but that's a totally different conversation. Judge Bloom was unconvinced, as she should be. Her ruling found Tesla presented no new arguments that warranted overturning the jury's decision. Tesla has indicated it will appeal the verdict to a higher court. The company also has pointed out a pretrial agreement that it claims would cap punitive damages at three times compensatory damages, which would reduce the final payout. Even under that interpretation, Tesla is still looking at a nine-figure judgment. Attorney Brett Schreiber, lead counsel for the plaintiff, sent Electrek the following statement, quote, "We are, of course, pleased, but also completely unsurprised that the Honorable Judge Bloom upheld the jury's verdict finding Tesla liable for the integral role autopilot and the company's misrepresentations of its capabilities played in the crash that killed Nibel and permanently injured Dylan. Tesla's arguments were simply an attempt to relitigate the court's pretrial rulings. We look forward to continuing our work, holding Tesla accountable for its lies and gross misconduct in courts across America." Now, a lot of you guys are big fans of Elon. I get it. And I appreciate what Tesla did, because frankly, if Tesla hadn't existed, if Elon hadn't existed, none of us would be here talking about electric cars today. We would not be as far along at all in this journey to electrify transportation, not only here in the US, but in Europe, in China, in Asia, certainly not in Africa, where we're seeing a lot of leadership take place there in terms of energy independence and reducing the dependence on fossil fuels. So I appreciate Elon there, but I'm going to keep laughing, because you cannot call these things autopilot and full self-driving and claim that they're going to make people money while they sleep and make all kinds of outrageous lies that you know are lies and crazy statements of the fact that gullible people are going to believe, and not only believe, but fight and die for, apparently, based on the comments that I get, and not get punished for it in a court of law. So great. Happy to see it, and I'm going to be seeing a whole lot more of it, because this ruling lands at a particularly difficult moment for Tesla's legal exposure. Since losing the landmark 2025 trial, the autopilot lawsuit floodgates have opened. Tesla has settled at least four additional autopilot crash lawsuits rather than risk more verdicts, including a case involving the death of a 15-year-old in California. New lawsuits are continuing to pile up, however. In January 2026, Tesla was sued over a Model X crash that killed an entire family of four when the vehicle veered into oncoming traffic. Electrek is aware of dozens more cases currently working their way through the courts. And of course, I'll put a link to another website you guys are going to like in the comments or over rather in the show notes at electrek.co. Definitely take a look at that and follow all of these. The legal pressure has been compounded by regulatory action. In December 2025, a California judge ruled that Tesla's use of the word autopilot in its marketing was misleading and violated state law, calling full self-driving a name that is actually unambiguously false. Just this week, Tesla avoided a 30-day California sales suspension only by agreeing to drop the Autopilot branding entirely. Tesla has since discontinued Autopilot as a standalone product in the US and Canada. This lends weight to one of the main arguments used in lawsuits since the original landmark ruling. That is that Tesla has been misleading customers into thinking that its driver assist features, Autopilot and FSD, are more capable than they are, leading drivers to pay less attention than they should. I think all of that is absolutely irrefutably true. And you know what? I also think that a reasonable person would think that vitamin water would be healthy and have vitamins in it. But the courts disagreed with me on that. So maybe they'll disagree with me on this in the future. We all have opinions. This is still a free America for now. That said, these things are changing and always in flux, and Tesla is apparently having a hard time turning over its FSD traffic violation data to said free government. Tesla has secured a second deadline extension for the NHTSA, National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, in the agency's investigation into traffic safety violations committed by vehicles operating with full self-driving. The new filing, dated February 20th, pushes the deadline for Tesla to deliver critical crash data, including video, event data recorder, and CAN bus files, to March 9th, 2026. The original deadline was January 19th. This is interesting because the timeline of the investigation is telling its own story. NHTSA opened preliminary evaluation PE25012 on October 7th, 2025, after connecting 58 incidents to vehicles operating with full self-driving, including crashes where vehicles ran red lights and crossed into opposing lanes of traffic. The probe covers roughly 2.88 million Tesla vehicles. By December, the number of documented violations had jumped 60% to 80, drawn from 62 driver complaints, 14 Tesla reports, and 4 media accounts. On December 3rd, NHTSA sent Tesla a sweeping information request demanding data on consumer complaints, field reports, crashes, lawsuits, and internal assessments. Tesla had until January 19th to respond. Tesla didn't make that deadline. On January 12th, the automaker told NHTSA it still had 8,313 records requiring manual review and could only process about 300 a day. That alone should shock some people, because Tesla, with its trillion-dollar market valuation, again, much larger than two or three or five of the next biggest automakers combined, they can't hire more people to review these cases. They don't have the Grok or AI bandwidth, XAI bandwidth to analyze these things. I don't know, guys. That seems a little sketchy to me. Tesla complained about the burden of simultaneously responding to multiple NHTSA probes, including separate investigations into delayed crash reporting and inoperative door handles, arguing that the volume, quote, is unduly burdensome and affects the quality of responses. NHTSA granted a 5-week extension to February 23rd. At the time, sources indicated the agency positioned it as a final accommodation. This investigation is not happening in a vacuum. That is super important to understand. Tesla launched unsupervised robo-taxi rides in Austin on January 22nd using the same FSD software stack that is now under federal scrutiny for traffic violations. The Austin fleet has been involved in at least 14 incidents since its launch in June of 2025, according to NHTSA standing general order data, and Tesla continues to redact all crash descriptions as confidential business information. Meanwhile, a viral video last week showed FSD attempting to drive a Tesla owner into a lake, racking up over 1 million views and adding to public concern about the software's reliability. The contrast with Waymo is stark. Waymo is now completing 450,000 weekly driverless rides across six cities, with a peer-reviewed study showing statistically significantly lower crash rates than human drivers across 56.7 million rider-only miles. When Waymo's vehicles were caught passing school buses, the company filed a voluntary recall within weeks. Tesla, on the other hand, is now on its second deadline extension just to tell NHTSA about full self-driving's traffic violations. So obviously, if it's a Waymo versus Tesla, I think I'd put my money on Waymo. That said, not sure I'm entirely sold on full self-driving of any kind. Regardless of how I feel, however, Waymo added 4 more cities to its robo-taxi service, now totaling 10, Tesla still at 0. Because Austin, let's face it, is not really driverless. Waymo has started driverless robo-taxi operation in 4 more U.S. cities as of today: Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Orlando. That brings the running total to 10, while Waymo's highest profile competitor in the space, Tesla, currently operates driverless robo-taxi in 0 cities, despite big teams to the contrary. Waymo is continuing its expansion of Level 4 driverless taxi network today, adding 4 new cities in one fell swoop. The cities are all in Texas and Florida, 2 states where Waymo already has operations in Austin and Miami. Each of them are opening to select riders, which is how Waymo has traditionally rolled out its service. Usually, it begins testing with a single employee driving in the car, then offers rides to employees, then starts service with select members of the public while gradually inviting more and more people. So, while not everyone will be able to hop on immediately, you can download the Waymo app and be invited as operations expand. It usually takes a few months to get on the list. You can see the map here of service areas that include Houston, San Antonio, Orlando, and Dallas. I don't know why you'd be in a Waymo there, but hey, if you live there, enjoy it. Finally, we sometimes like to end these talking about sustainability, talking about the grid, talking about environment and power and generation and all that good stuff. This is something like that in a much more terrifying way. In a world's first, the U.S. Air Force has deployed a portable nuclear power station. For the first time in its history, a U.S. Air Force C-17 Globemaster has airlifted a complete 5-megawatt nuclear reactor from March Air Reserve Base in California to Hill Air Force Base in Utah for assembly and operation, signaling a new era of deployable energy and logistical capabilities. As students of historic wars will tell you, logistics is what wins wars. And the fact that America's military has the ability to deploy a fully functional Burger King anywhere in the world in less than 24 hours should and does strike fear into the hearts of all those who would oppose it. Now, however, it's not the flame-broiled Whopper that will be worrying the diplomats. Instead, it is this: a 5-megawatt, completely portable nuclear power station. At the heart of this exercise, dubbed Project Janus, is the Ward 250 modular reactor. Developed by Valor Atomics, the Ward 250 is designed to deliver 5 megawatts of electrical power at full capacity. Now, if you're not sure how megawatts work, trust me, that is a ton of power. To put it into perspective, the Ward 250 can generate 120 megawatt hours of electricity in a 24-hour period. That's enough to power a small town or, put in terms of EVs, charge more than 600 Chevrolet Silverado EVs from empty to full, again, in 24 hours. A tremendous tactical advantage for future electric war machines that won't require a train of vulnerable fueling rigs potentially hundreds of miles long to keep them rolling. That said, the advantages for portable power at this scale don't begin and end with warfighting abilities. The ability to rapidly deploy reliable electricity to disaster response teams and remote medical and scientific outposts is huge, supporting not only basic human needs, but enough capacity to make isolated locations more rather than less EV friendly. That is a sentiment echoed in the original press release, which reads, quote, "The successful delivery and installation of this reactor will unlock significant possibilities for the future of energy resilience and strategic independence for our nation's defense, showcasing an agile, innovative, and commercial-first approach to solving critical infrastructure challenges. By harnessing the power of advanced nuclear technology, we are not only enhancing our national security, but championing a future of energy dominance." That's from the Department of War. The exercise proved that the U.S. could load a containerized reactor onto an aircraft, fly it from points A to B within a 3,500-foot runway, and assemble it and switch it on. The program addresses the U.S. Department of War's ever-growing need for dependable battlefield energy that is removed from existing grid assets, both to power conventional operational assets and feed mobile data centers and electric vehicles. Take a look at the images and video of Project Janus, which I will attach here in the show notes. Then let us know what you think of that in the comments. And while you're doing that, be sure to like and subscribe. Drew, especially you, I know you listen to these, hit that subscribe button, buddy.